Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio edition, addiction. And I'm your host, Pastor Brent Kuhlman. We're going to see if we can either finish Colossians here in this segment or get really close, because we're in the last few verses of Colossians here. So let me finish up with my technical stuff right here, and then we're going to get right to it. All right, so here we go. Let's look at verses 7 and following in chapter 4. Here Paul concludes his letter, and he deals with, for lack of better terminology, let's just call it some personal matters. So his final greetings, this is Colossians 4, verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Verse 10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Verse 13, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see to it that it is read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Well, these last verses here, they deal with the sending of Tychicus, who carried the letter, and the return of the Colossian slave Onesimus. The last few verses here, they also convey greetings. They also direct an exchange of letters between Colossae and the neighboring town of Laodicea. And the last few verses here, they charge Archippus to fulfill his ministry. And Paul concludes with a greeting that's written with his own hand. How about that? A renewal request for their prayers. And then he gives them that very brief benediction, you know, grace be with you. Now, these are personal matters to be sure, but with Paul, there's no divorce, if you will, or there's no, how shall I say it? I'm at a loss for words here. There's no gap, if you will, between personal and official aspects of his life. I mean, it's all one. I hope that makes sense. It's everything with Paul. Now, Tychicus, who's mentioned in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Well, Tychicus of Asia Minor accompanied Paul on his last journey to Jerusalem. You can read about that in Acts chapter 20. And so he is also the one who carries the letter to the Ephesians, which you can read about in Ephesians 6, verse 21. Now we catch a glimpse of Tychicus's later activity as Paul's co-worker, and you can read about that in Titus 3, verse 12, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 12. You can look that stuff up on your own. Now, Onesimus is mentioned in verse 9. He is coming, that is to say, Tychicus is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one with you. So they, namely Tychicus and Onesimus, will tell you everything that is happening here. And that is to say, Paul in chains, in prison. Well, this Onesimus, remember Philemon? Okay. In calling this embezzling runaway slave, the faithful and beloved brother who is one with you or one of you, Paul is asking the Colossians to put into practice what he said in chapter 3, verse 13. Remember that? As the Lord has forgiven you, forgive one another, or forgive as the Lord forgave you. And without any, for lack of better terminology here, I know some people don't like this, without any strings, without any conditions, or no bad remembrance, if you will, of the past failings of this runaway slave. Verse 10, there's another person who's mentioned, Aristarchus. He sends you his greetings. Now, remember, Aristarchus of Thessalonica is called a fellow prisoner. A fellow prisoner, literally prisoner of war in the Greek. And so Aristarchus of Thessalonica is one who shares the difficulties and dangers with Paul, the soldier. And, you know, just for the sake, you can look up some of this stuff on your own. 1 Corinthians 9:7, 2 Corinthians 10:3. He shares the difficulties and dangers with Paul, the soldier and the prisoner, for Christ. Now, Aristarchus had been seized by the mob at Ephesus. You can read about that in Acts 19:29. And he accompanied Paul on the very dangerous, last voyage of Paul to Jerusalem. Again, Acts chapter 20. And he accompanied Paul in his Roman imprisonment, Acts 27, verse 2. And Aristarchus is also listed among Paul's fellow workers as well in Philemon, verse 24. So these are things you can look up on your own. Now, again, back to verse 10. Not only does Aristarchus send you his greetings, but so does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Well, this is most likely the Mark who wrote the gospel, according to St. Mark, the evangelist. Now, you can compare Acts, where Mark is also called John Mark, John, or Mark. And I'll just give you the references, and you can look them up at your leisure. Acts chapter 12, verse 12, and verse 25. Acts 13, 13. Acts 15, verses 37 to 39. Philemon, verse 24. And 2 Timothy 4:11. There's another name that's mentioned, and this is verse 11. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. Now, we only know him from this passage. And Paul says that he is the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they've proved a comfort to me. These are Jewish fellow workers. And I would suggest then that this implies that Epaphras, who's mentioned then in verse 12, Luke, and Demas are Gentiles, not Jews. Now, Epaphras, in Colossians 1, verse 7, Paul says, you learned it. Well, let's back it up. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Now, Colossians 1, 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. You can compare Philemon, verse 23, as well. Now, there are a couple of places that are mentioned in his concluding personal matters here. In verse 13, he speaks of those who are at Laodicea and Hierapolis. And those two cities with Colossae constituted, I would contend, a triangle of neighboring towns. And you can look this up. You know, there's lots of maps that you can look up in the Lycus Valley. Now, verse 14, you've got another name that's mentioned, our dear friend Luke, the doctor. Now, mentioned only here and in 2 Timothy 4:11 and Philemon 24 in the New Testament. Okay? But I contend this is the Luke who wrote the gospel according to St. Luke. Demas, known from this passage and also from 2 Timothy 4:10 and Philemon verse 24. Now, I want to look up the 2 Timothy 4 passage really quickly here as best I can because a lot of people don't know this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And this is sad because I contend this is the same Demas that's mentioned here in Colossians 4. Do your best, come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Okay? All right. There's another name that's mentioned, Nympha, in verse 15, Colossians 4:15, known only from this passage. And he speaks about the church in her house. And this house church language This is the usual way that the church is spoken of in the very early apostolic days. You can compare Acts 2:46 and Romans 16:5. And you know, in Romans 16, you know, when you've got all of these grouping of names, this would suggest house churches. And you've got a similar kind of thing in Philemon 2 with all of that. Okay, Archippus in verse 17. Paul says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you've received in the Lord. He's called a fellow soldier by Paul in Philemon, verse 2. And he may have been, this Archippus may have been Philemon's son. Now, we can only guess as to the exact nature of his ministry, which he had received from the Lord. Well, could have been, you know, just a regular preacher who had a congregation and preached, or he could have been an evangelist, a missionary, who knows? We really don't know. Now, verse 18, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. With my own hand. Now, I want to just compare that to some other passages in the New Testament. For example, 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 16, verse 21. And again, this is where Paul, in his letter, his first letter to the Corinthians, he also gives his final words. And he says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. And you have something very similar again in Galatians 6, verse 11, and 2 Thessalonians 3, 17. So what's the point here? Paul dictated the body of his letters. He dictated the body of his letters. All right, so that basically gets us through Colossians, and you're all saying, woohoo, woohoo, and now we're going to go to Ephesians. Now, what I want to do is, I only have a few minutes left in this segment, so I want to start giving us, again, by way of review, and this might take us a while because there's a lot of things that I want to cover as a groundwork, laying the groundwork and introduction, if you will, for Paul's letter to the Ephesians. First of all, I want to say that the letter to the Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, is linked, of course, by the evidence in the letter itself to the letter to the Colossians and the letter of Philemon. And Tychicus is the bearer of the letter to the Ephesians. That's Ephesians 6, verse 21. And it will give the readers fuller information about Paul and his imprisonment. That's Ephesians 6, verse 22. Now, since Tychicus is also the one who carries the letter to the Colossians, and since Onesimus is returning to Colossae with Tychicus, remember we just covered this here in Colossians 4, I would contend that the three letters, the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the Colossians in Philemon, have a common historical background. They proceed from what? Well, duh, Paul's Roman captivity. And I think a really good guess would be they are to be dated somewhere within the 2 years of that captivity, AD 59 to 61, perhaps the earlier part of those years, 59, you know, somewhere in there. Now, in the next minute or so that I've got, you know, I'm going to turn to this because you'll notice Paul and how he begins his letter to the Ephesians. And it's kind of strange. So, and what I mean by strange is he doesn't identify to who he's sending it to. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in, now notice, Ephesus. Now, my NIV translation has that, but a lot of manuscripts don't have it, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that's what I'm driving at. Now, what I've done here is I don't have enough time to go into that in great detail right now, but I've simply whet your appetite that there are a lot of Greek manuscripts that don't say to the saints in Ephesus, okay? And so I want to talk about that and what that might mean. Stay Lutheran, my friends.